What a beautiful story. You know that one of the things that I love about the story that Tressie read is the recognition that there is this pumpkins harvesting process. And I've been learning in my time here that some of us were raised in farms. Some of us have had friends who lived in farms. Some of us grew up as farmers' children. And we know that the harvesting takes time. It involves a lot of people. It needs almost this perfect weather, right? Not too hot, not too cold, or else the pumpkin won't end up as good as we want it to be. It needs to follow a certain process for the harvest to be really good. And so harvest and pumpkins have been one of the things in my mind lately. There's pumpkins everywhere. Everywhere you go in Wanakee, Windsor, the forest, anywhere you see pumpkins. And so you know me that sometimes, once in a while, I love to share some memes I find on the internet. So let me share a few for today. And the first one is this one here, for those who likes puns. Looking for puns? Let me orange that. I'm a pun king. Sadly, it took me a few seconds to get that. This one here, it's a joke. What do you get when you drop a pumpkin? Squash. I think you've heard that joke before. It's corny, but since I'm a new dad, I have an excuse now. I can be corny all I want, right? So there you go. And then this one that I found, and this one was interesting to me because I'm not much of a pumpkin carver myself at all. So then I have some friends who are experts at it, right? And I think some of you here are really good at it, but I think my pumpkin would be the one below that one, just with a little smile. And so I found that to be really funny. I wanted to share that with you too. And then this one is a bit more serious, I believe. It doesn't relate to pumpkins directly, but it relates about Halloween. And it says, a day where we get it right. Strangers come to us, beautiful, ugly, odd, or scary, and we accept them all without question. We compliment them, treat them kindly, and give them good things. Why don't we live like that? That was I felt that, you know. Yes, why don't we live like that, right? And so this is our first year with Laura being parents, and so this was a couple of weeks ago, and she was excited about her pumpkin. And something that I've noticed as a new father is that children really, really become connected to their pumpkins. There's like this instant connection. And so for some of us who were serving at the event at the park last Saturday, well, a couple of weeks ago, you may remember that there was this cute boy, he was about 5 years old, that just became connected with a small pumpkin, right, Dale? And he was just so connected with it and didn't let it go. And let me tell you, we had a lot of pumpkins. So, you know, thanks to Glenn, Dan's brother, we were able to have so many pumpkins, right? And he was just hooked up on that one. He grabbed that one and he kept it throughout the whole event. And so it got me thinking that we are drawn as people to choosing something and then to make it our own. There are kids who did all kinds of things with the pumpkins, all kinds of things with the pumpkins they chose. And some of you who have Facebook, you know, have seen all of the decorated pumpkins that the kids did that Saturday. So we are wired to choosing, wired to creating something new from the options that we are given. And I can see it with Laura already. I think I've mentioned this already, that she's making her own decisions. Now she gets in this moment where she loves to get her toys and she just loves to throw them out and laughs about it. And there we go, we get them up and she does it all over again. She's making her choices already. And as parents that we are, as grandparents, as teachers, we have some teachers here in the room as well, know perfectly well how at an early age, kids begin making their own decisions. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ is similar to pumpkins that are chosen by children. I remember in small groups, I was younger, how talking about Jesus and everything that Jesus did for people motivated me. I remember being in small groups. Small groups are so important in growing. And I remember being younger and having to go with my parents, right? And sometimes I didn't want to be there, right? But I was there because of my parents. But then I heard some things about Jesus. And I was like, who is this Jesus? Who is this guy who they're talking about? I had, you know, grew up, I mean, a Christian all my life. But slowly it began to sink in into my heart and mind about this Jesus. And so at first I relied on teachers. I relied on pastors. I relied on youth mentors to interpret the Bible for me. But after I heard about this Jesus more and more, I said, well, I want to read it for myself. I want to get to know more. So I grew more interested in reading the Bible for myself. And so I have heard from a lot of people that they tell me that, you know what, first, I didn't encounter Jesus, you know, directly first. I heard it from the people at church, or I heard it from my family, or I heard it from a friend. And then slowly I began to know more about this Jesus. It was only after hearing about Jesus from the community of followers that we learn about Jesus, that we met Jesus, that we experienced Jesus in our own lives. And Jesus comes in supernatural ways. I think some of us here have some stories, right? Some stories of miracles that you go, wow, it's God's presence, right? And Beth was sharing her connection with the prayer room. But there's also casual and ordinary ways that God comes to our lives. You know that we just ended our Spanish and Scripture growth group. It was a growth group that lasted 8 weeks. And it was basically using the Bible, right, as a way to teach Spanish to those who were going to participate. And this past Thursday was the last time together this year. And so I highly doubt that many of us came out of that growth group as, you know, fluent speakers. I doubt that, you know, I highly doubt it, but I may be surprised. But I think that the group quickly realized after a couple of sessions together that it was more than the language. It was more than the culture of Latin America. It was about coming together. How the gospel was used to teach the Spanish language, but it also taught the language of love, the language of hospitality, the language of being vulnerable with each other. And I can tell you that many times in our time together, we felt God's presence in each other. There was one Thursday where we heard our stories of migration. So we shared our stories based on our migrations. And so some of us had gone from Iowa to Wisconsin, and that was our migration story, and that was okay. But then we were able to see and hear what God had been doing in our lives. So that's what the gospel is about. It shares with us stories of God through the lenses of people. It brings people together. The gospel invites to share our own stories of how we experience God. That's why I love how the board meetings here, we always begin by, well, how did you experience God in the week? And sometimes that can stun people. Wait a minute, how is it that I experienced God this week? And I tell you that whenever we were organizing our community pumpkin event at the park, a lot of us were worried. I can tell you that I was a little worried. I was praying hard, especially because of my record of doing outside events. I was like, I was praying really hard, I promise you. And then we knew that it was good weather a couple of days before, and I said, yes, praise be to God, please don't change. And then around close to 10 a.m., 10:15-ish, people began to arrive. Something as simple as that event, right, that we put all our energy, all our efforts, because we want to bless families, we want to bless children. And we begin to see cars arriving, parents walking with their children. And we were able to experience the power of the pumpkins, because people just saw the pumpkins, the banners, and a lot of people heard about the event through Facebook, the banner. So it was a team effort. And so I was thinking, wow, that's the power of the pumpkins. Can you imagine the power of God's gospel? And I've heard so many stories of how the gospel has been used to exclude, to reject, to isolate people, to divide people. But that's our humanness getting in the way. Doesn't that happen? Our humanness get in the way from God's love. And so the spirit of the gospel is all and forever inclusive. No matter how much our humanness tries to get in the way, it brings us closer to God. And in this process of bringing us closer to God, then we begin to experience change. We begin to want more of God, to want more of God's goodness, more of God's beauty, more of God's truth. And it happened to me. I never imagined in a million years that I would be a pastor. If you were to go back to that Luis, and perhaps, you know, you've done this before, where you want to, you know, go back to that person who you were whenever you were 15, 18, 24, 28, 30s, 40s, I would have never imagined that that Luis, that young guy, would have been a pastor in Wanakee out of all places, Wanakee, Wisconsin. And so we begin to experience change. We begin to let go more of God, letting go, just like the trees are letting go of their leaves. What a bold thing that trees can do, just leaving their leaves behind and transforming themselves. So we keep learning about Jesus. We keep learning about the gospel. And we keep letting God in our lives. And I promise you that our lives will not be the same. I'm a testament of that. And a lot of stories that you've heard are testaments of what happened when God begins to come in into your life. So then the gospel brings us closer to people who in many ways are different than who we are. They worship the same God, but they're from the same community. And in many ways, even those who worship different, even to those who are our brothers and sisters in faith, who are not part of the Christian faith, are made in God's image. So the gospel brings a bunch of misfits. Kind of like what happened with the event that we had, I think 2 weeks ago. I don't know time anymore, but Food for Kids. Remember that? That Sunday that we went to serve. And so here we were, an intergenerational group of about 20 of us, a group of misfits, all different, who went there for one reason, I believe, a very simple one, to package food for other people. For just one simple reason, one specific reason. And I think we wanted to make a difference in very small ways, right? We all wanted to put our grain of salt. Tomorrow, it's the 31st, and I was, you know, laughing this morning because I have a friend, a good friend of mine, and so he and I went to seminary, and his birthday falls on October 30th. And so I texted him this morning, and I said, "Happy Halloween." I was teasing him. But tomorrow is the 31st of October, and it's Halloween, and it's also the anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. For those of us who are, you know, history and religion geeks, 507 years, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But just like it was with the pumpkin decorating event, just like it was with the Spanish and the Scripture Growth Group, just how it was with the Food for Kids event, it began with the spark of passion. It began with this commitment, this passion of trying to make a difference in people's lives. It began with this profound interest in God's gospel. And I remember that we sometimes try to paint this story of Martin Luther. I don't know if you have watched, you know, certain movies about him. He was an awesome guy. He was a very intelligent guy, very committed guy. But it was more than him. There had been other smaller reforms before him that had created the avenues for that growth, for that change, for that revolution to happen. And it was just not him either. He was the main figure of the movement, but there were other people. So just like we've done different events for this month, it's more than Pastor Luis. It's not Pastor Luis. It's a team. It's the ministry team. It's the care team. It's the church that can say, yes, this is what we're doing as Crossroads United Methodist Church in Wanakee. So it wasn't just myself involved. And the case of Martin Luther also brings into light something else, that no human structure, no human system can constrain the gospel, God's gospel of love and compassion and justice. God's gospel of love and justice is for everybody, and all means all. Americans and Russians, clergy and lay people, billionaires and small rural farmers, believers and doubters, agnostics and atheists, undocumented and citizens, black and white, Greek or Gentile, heterosexuals or LGBTQ, everybody. It cannot be constrained. It cannot, God's gospel cannot be held down in a box, although sometimes we try to control it, box it up. God's gospel breaks human walls. God's gospel is an evolving experiment of transformation that brings us closer to God, that brings us closer to goodness, to beauty, to truth, to commitment, to passion. And so we've been meeting with people in the church the past weeks. Now, granted, I'm still new. I'm still learning a lot from each one of you about the history of the church. I've been learning about each one of your passions and interests, and I haven't met you all yet. And I would love to get to know all of you at some point, but there's plenty of time for that. And so we've been talking about the 2023 ministry goals. And so some of us have been like, wait a minute, well, we are not even in Christmas yet, and we're thinking about next year. Wait a minute. I've been, you know, one of them. And we've had good discussions. We prayed together. What is God leading us as Crossroads? What is God calling us? Because something that I feel passionate about is, this is not my church. I'm the pastor, but this is God's church. This is God's gospel. And so I hope that you can utilize the room that Beth has mentioned also to save a little time of prayer for our church, for the path forward. And I hope that you can feel free to reach out to me or to any of the care team leaders or the ministry team leaders that are here. If you have any suggestion, any feedback, any comment, I'm all about accepting constructive critique. I'm all about that. Because as a good Methodist, I'm always wanting to pursue perfection, right? That's one of our things about grace, right? And so I know this feeling in my heart, though. And I felt it this week on Thursday whenever we had hot cocoa and some pastries. And right at the end of the growth group, the Spanish and Scripture growth group, I could feel as some of us were, okay, well, this is happening now. What are we going to do next Thursday? At least that was my feeling. So my wife and I, we left and we were like, what are we going to do next Thursday? We got to find plans. So I know this feeling in my heart that God is doing something new in all of us. And I could tell also in the week as we were planning, brainstorming for our future, God is doing something new in our hearts, in our minds. And all big movements like the Protestant Reformation began with average people just like you and me. On fire for God, on fire for God's gospel, on fire for the good news of Jesus Christ. And then we take it out to the world, and then we make a difference. And so the good news is that we're like pumpkins, just like the story that Tressie was sharing. Again, I'm not much of a carver, okay? But the pumpkins, you take all that gooey stuff, right, that Tressie was reading about. That's what God has been doing in our lives. We're all messy. We're all chaotic at times. I am. I know I am. And so that's what God has been doing and working in our lives. The good news that it doesn't matter where you come from. If you're able-bodied or not, whatever your situation is, whatever, whoever you are, what you've done in the past, who you've been in the past, does not matter as long as you are here, longing for change, longing for God's love to enter into your heart. So praise be to God for that. So with that spirit of thanksgiving, that spirit of love, let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give you praise and we give you all the honor And we're just so thankful that we're able to spend this time. We pray blessings over the beautiful families who are here gathered this morning, that you continue hearing their prayers, that you continue to shape them and mold them and transform them into your image, and that you also, as your church, continue to shape us, mold us into everything that you desire us to be, so that we can connect people, so that we can be ignited and passionate for you, so that we can be transformed more and more into you, and that we can go out there to shape society as well that needs a lot of love, that needs a lot of who you are. And all of this we pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.